You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yep. So it's going to be a fun one tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Ooh, don't worry. When I got some stuff because there's a video about the Saints Row 2022.
I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, trust me. When this guy did a video, he was talking to a Volition employee about the process of the game. And where it was and what it became.
All right, that makes me sad. Anyway, so hi, everybody. And welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the Weird Libertarians Networks. I am your host, Harry Price, a.k.a. The Moving Target. And I am joined here with the next collective co-host. I'm going to introduce him right now because you guys know I do not fly solo. So I had to bring Reinhold. Reinhold, go ahead and say hi.
Hello, everybody. It's going to be fun listening to the topic tonight because I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about. So,
awesome. Just play along. You'll be fine.
Sure, it'll be great.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah. And of course, we've got got Vincent, now with his non-broken microphone. I see, get a good certified reboot, administrative professional on it.
Well, yeah, of course. It just, turned it off, turned it back on, worked perfectly fine. Yeah. Solution to every problem.
Oh, yeah. So tonight might be a little bit different episode. You guys might notice that we are not all our streaming platforms. Apparently, our last episode was a little too spicy for YouTube, and the Google overlords hated that. Was mad at us. And
this was the one before last, right?
Yeah, it was the one before last.
Yeah, one before last. Yeah, decided that we were, not playing too well inside the sandbox of the rules, and which, screw them. they basically just proved us right on why that app was important and why someone needs them like that. Because like in any moment, someone can declare that you broke an arbitrary rule and you can't stream and cut you off from your income and you're different people. It is crazy and awful, forcing us to sell out and do ads.
And God, why would you do that to yourself?
Ads.
Oh God.
Which
just accept the Raid Shadow Legend. That'd be better. Oh my God, why? Just accept the Raid Shadow Legends instead.
I refuse to take that money. I'm not taking that Raid Shadow Legend.
I can't believe you guys, man. You just that product placement stuff. Yeah. Not right.
I know. We don't sell out here.
Nothing. Not a single bit of selling out.
Some of you guys, have no integrity.
Oh, that's what. Oh, so it's a double sponsor. One, the White Castle, and the Tums to balance out the White Castle. That's the only way you're going to survive
that. Before we get into this, I better take me some medicine.
No, but tonight's topic, I'm going to complain about the Grey Jay app, unturnably strike that we got. And I'm just going to talk about our other subject, which is modern gaming and the failures that it has had in the year and a half. you know, of just modern gaming failures. Well, I eat my delicious White Castle burger. Vincent, if you go set up the topic.
Okay. So I was looking around the internet. There's a YouTuber, Yong Yeah, who does a lot of like news about gaming. And even though I don't play it, there was a release of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. That's a $70 game that was originally going to be a DLC that they turned into a $70 game with a year turnaround time. They did full screen ads when you turn on your Xbox. When you turn the Xbox on, they had an ad that covered the whole Xbox screen when you turned the console on. And to download the game with everything that's in the game, it's a 200 gig download. And 45 gigs of that is a proprietary launcher for Call of Duty that you have to, the only way to get it is if you bought, like before this, is if you had Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 already.
All right, this is, all right, you said a lot. A lot of it sounds very unbelievable.
No, it's even more unbelievable. There was a bug when it first came out that they had to patch out that in order to play the story mode, it asked you for a disc from the PS4 version of Modern Warfare 2 because it was going to be a DLC, you see.
Don't be surprised.
Oh, that's some crap coding.
Oh, yeah. That's some crap coding. So
now just to be clear, this was something that everybody wanted, right? It was a huge clamor for this to be released.
And what it was that they were going to delay their Call of Duty game for the year because they normally do one a year, but just different companies inside of Activision that do it. But they were like, you know what? Instead of, yeah, we're still going to delay this one, but we still want to release another game. So we're going to take this DLC and make it a full $70 game.
All right. I see nothing wrong with like, expanding upon a DLC idea and turning
the story mode is 4 hours long.
So DLC time length.
If you're fast enough, I've seen people say it's been 3 hours.
Okay. All right. So, I'm sure they're planning on adding more stuff to the solo campaign over time. Maybe like a battle pass or
no. It is a
microtransactions, DLC. Of course.
All right. So this full ad, it's at least an ad for like in-game stuff. It's not like
No. When you turn on your Xbox, it pulls up. It's like buy Modern Warfare 3. It's a full screen ad when you turn your Xbox on.
Oh, because I bought the game. Not, you know, it's not doing no, all no, Xboxes. No.
Everybody. It's an everybody thing. So. Looking at this massive failure of a game launch.
Hold on. I don't have a modern console besides the Switch, which Switch is not a modern console. So you're telling me I sit down at my couch and I go Xbox on, right? Oops, mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I just turned someone's Xbox. I'm sorry. And it kicks on, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to give me an ad about Modern Warfare 3.
Yep, before anything else. That's the home splash page as soon as you turn it on.
Oh, that's
definitely. And it's like, it gives you an option to buy it on the splash page.
So if I buy it, will it at least go away?
I don't think so. Actually, I don't think it does.
Jesus freaking Christ. Console gamers, why do you put up with this? Why do you put up with this?
You said it was a failure, right? What are the numbers metrics on that? Was it really a failure? Did they not make money back on this game? Did nobody download it?
It came out last week, but it let you know that even IGN gave it like a 4, and that's
for a company that doesn't give
anything high. Things.
Right, but that's not what we're talking about. If they made a bunch, a crap ton of money on it, it was successful. Whether the critics liked it or not, or whether the they screwed it all up doesn't mean it wasn't in their mind successful.
Now slow down there, Brian Hold. We don't know this for sure because a lot of people have pre-orders, a lot of people are getting that game, they're finding that out. We won't know if it's really successful until after the first month that people have processed, gotten the game, and the returns have been processed.
Yeah, true. So we're currently waiting on that to be out.
Right. Yeah. So it gets we were seeing like the nightmare, like the failures on the I expect the game. The, whether or not they make profits doesn't matter. Madden is a failure for the last
yeah.
I'm just going to say millennia because it's going to be easier. Might as well just make the t-shirt that says Madden has been a failure for the last millennia. Just make it now. Just when you don't have to.
It was,
they're not going to make a new game.
You know, the last good game, the last good Madden game was 2007. That's when you could play on the PC
98.
With league mode. Just saying. That's when the last, because a couple friends of mine and I had a league. We would play, we'd pass the save file around and we would play our own little league. And when they took that away, that was the last time I played a Madden game.
Which is fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you can't even like remotely do that now.
Right. But my point is that it made me start thinking about the other games in the past year that have been like released at basically DOA.
Hold on.
There was issues with
I do want to get to this. Mm-hmm. So you're saying on my console I have to have a 200 gig download?
Yes.
On my console.
Yes.
So if I didn't get the terabyte.
Yes.
You can easily add space.
Well, if you don't want all, if you want the base game, it's only 78. But you know, if you want everything that's in the game, it's 200.
Right, but most people get consoles because they just want that. I just want to set something down, push button, and go.
Yep.
You know, the PC to console player has an issue like open it up, throw another SSD in it, you know, maybe hook up, use some, you know, daisy chaining crap, won't care. But your model console gamer, like, no, they just want to push button play.
Yeah, and on release, it's very content poor. There's really nothing in it. Most of the story mode missions were just Warzone maps, which they just
repopped
them. Made it story mode, but not really.
So, gosh, so that's even just 10 times worse. So, like, I will say that is a good strategy to make sure they're playing just your game because they can only fit your game on their console.
Capture the market.
I know, right? You know,
lock it down.
Yeah, you've locked the system down. Now I know because most PC gamers are like, it's like, yeah, what's 200 gigs? You know, I've got 5 terabytes sitting here on my desk. You know, like I dug up an old Western Digital one of those dual drives that I forgot I put 2 4-terabytes in. It. I booted it up today because I needed. I wanted to. I found it in the garage moving things around. I'm like, hey, what if this thing works? Like, it's got 8 terabytes in it.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know. Let's go. I don't even need this anymore. Christy. Oh. Hey, Christy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you?
But yeah, no, it is from basically every metric up until we actually know the sales and the release stuff. It's been terrible. The fans hate it. The people who like Call of Duty are like, why would I play this when I have Modern Warfare 2 still? If I need to have Modern Warfare 2 anyway, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah, so like, yeah, so another casualty of modern gaming of people popping thing, you know, just, I don't know, like, is it the game companies just not reading the room or they're just so far removed from gamers now, like it's so corporate culture with everything going like public and everything like that.
The issue is, from my perspective, is that the AAA market is like 5 years behind where the actual gaming market is, because there's a lot of things that are doing season passes and but still making the game full price, or they're trying to do a games as a service situation, or we can look at something like Redfall, which Redfall came out and the gameplay was bad. The AI was bad, but made it even worse that the servers were so terrible that you couldn't even play the game when it came out. And it's meant to be a four-player co-op game you play with your friends. People would just constantly keep dropping because the connectivity issues with the servers were just so poor.
Yeah, I never get that. Like, while like some gaming companies like will force people to play on like their company-owned servers, even though there's people out there that are more happy and willing to like host their own servers or help host or like in like pubs and stuff like that will host their own servers. You know, you could cost out. You take a lot of the cost of like hosting the game, like just all that. The other players in your community will do it. I can understand you want to cut down on cheating or be able to, you know, control the servers, but like there's the things that, you know, like how hard it is to think through that problem or just do like an anti-cheat to scan the server, make sure you got the correct server or not. But nope.
Right. Nope. But then you also look at stuff like Payday 3, which they're behind the eight ball because they decided to do a always on model, which was something that has stopped happening because people stopped playing games like that because he realized that there's a lot of people that don't like to play online with other people.
Yep. Hey, toasty posty.
So because of that, a lot of people aren't playing Payday 3 because of Payday 3 servers were terrible at launch. Why would I play this now? Wait till the servers are better. I'll come back later.
Okay, so for Dvito, like, so we played Payday 2. We used to play it a bunch before Paul got banned for dropping gaming words.
Allegedly. Slash and, the servers just hate him for whatever
reason. Yeah, servers hate him. But like, so we enjoy, like, I've got you guys, I don't know if you guys are, but I enjoy the Payday series. I enjoy robbing the band, so like that. And to me, playing Payday 3, great improvement. Everything most people hate about Payday 2, complete improvement on Payday 3. And there's things about other games I hate about their games that they improved upon on Payday 3. Like the guard situation. There's sometimes we do it. I don't want to get too much into it, but you know, there's several different missions where we'd go behind the counters in secure areas, and you know, they would just kind of just leave us alone. And now in Payday 2, you're like, oh, you can't be back here, and like, giving more stealth and makes and turned lock picking into a fun mini game, which you know, I enjoyed the mini game with it. But anyways, and you can close doors. You can finally close doors. I know. Closed doors. Sense,
yeah. But that, even though this game's a massive improvement, the people who play Payday are willing to just put it on the shelf because Payday 2 is still around. They could just play that instead.
Correct. And they keep putting, they put so much content out there for Payday 2. And they put, and we, I don't know, like with Starbreeze, we kind of like trust them to like, well, they're going to keep putting content. They're going to make this better because of the, what we know what they've done with Payday 2, and they know like, hey, we will buy your DLC, but this thing has to be good. And one thing they want back, like a lot of us in the community want back, we want our offline only mode, so we get, if we want to play solo, you know, we're not like, I wish people would go for the big ask and let us host our own servers, but that launch was terrible, and because it was only online only. When the game launched, when the first virtually launched, you could not play your game. You paid a full price for this game, and you could not play it. Yes, I was one of those people that sat there, tried to do a solo game on the first mission on the first weekend, and just couldn't play. Just sit there watching it going, like, connecting, trying to connect the host, finding a game. And I'm like, I'm not connecting anyone. It's just me. I don't need to find a match. I don't need a lobby. It's just me. And it's not like the game can't do it all client side on my machine, because you could still do the tutorial missions locally, which, yeah.
Right. But that's just another thing about this modern gaming that becomes so infuriating. You look at stuff like that. A good example of the opposite is something like Baldur's Gate 3. Where it came out, it was functional at launch. Everybody was able to enjoy it as is without any issues.
Or a few issues, but nothing very minor.
Nothing game-breaking, nothing that makes everybody not want to play the game. Anything that makes people not want to just drop the game entirely, because this is a massive market of games that are constantly streaming out. And if your game starts off terrible, people are going to stop playing.
Now remember, they got in trouble. The devs for Baldur's Gate 3 got in some trouble and backlash because they brought a game to market that was actually really good. Mm-hmm. And yes, people were saying how you can't do this because now people are going to expect this from every title. And people, the community is saying, what's wrong with that? You know,
exactly.
So there was a lot of controversy about that the first couple of weeks it was out, just because it was like, here's a AAA title that's actually good and it actually works and it's not half baked and put in, and or we're going to put stuff in later and waiting for downloads. And they're like, this is the game. We're not adding anything to it later. Not adding DLCs down because it's the game. They've made the game.
Correct.
So people were just like astonished that this happened in the modern gaming community now. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows that there might be a turn back towards that type of game production.
Yeah. Right. And that's what I was saying is that like that because there's a lot of companies that are like 5 years behind, compare it to another similar kind of game of Diablo 4. Diablo 4 came out, or whatever the news Diablo 1 is, either 4 or 5, I can't remember.
4 came out just recently. 3 was the one I was playing a year. Yeah.
Yeah, Diablo 4 came out, and people had to try to go through and defend it. It was like, well, the game's only good after you beat the game, and then it actually gets good. So if you're not playing after you beat the story, then you're just complaining about this game because it's not good until then.
You got to get to level 80. You get the level cap before the MMO is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
classic.
But it's not an MMO.
I know.
And that's what makes it so infuriating. And these people are trying to use these MMO tactics for a game that is you can play as a single player action RPG.
I got a disc I found the other day of the original Diablo. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's worth nothing. But anyway,
but watching as their player base is slowly started to dwindle because now on top of that they started doing really sketchy predatory things of like the battle pass. Whenever you open the start menu, it would always go to the battle pass screen, mm-hmm. and it will always highlight the battle pass button. And the people who downloaded it early has a free battle pass that can use at any time. Mm-hmm. So if you're not paying attention, you automatically use your free battle pass because there's no confirmation when you press the button.
Oh, dear God.
So
what else is hurting it too is because remember when Diablo, you know, came out, Diablo 2, Diablo 3 really when it was really kind of the thing. There wasn't a lot of real competition.
No.
But then Pillars of Eternity came out. Mm-hmm. And now people are playing Diablo 4 going, well, I can play Pillars of Eternity for free. And it's better. So why would I do this? And that's, you know, you've got to give them something for the value you're not getting.
Right. And that's where a lot of these is what I mean by these failed launches and these games that don't really get a fan base, or the companies are making these games don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
So a good example, as I alluded to at the beginning, there's a YouTuber named Matt McMuscles who has a series called What Happened, where he goes through the developments of games. Mm-hmm. Usually he does public information, but there's a lot of times where insiders will contact him and he'll have an interview with them explaining it. Mm-hmm. So he had an interview with a former Volition employee before Volition shut down, about Saints Row, the 2022 version of Saints Row. And the creator was talking about in the early stages, it was going to be a sequel to Saints Row 4. That they were going to go back to the roots of Saints Row where you had to rebuild your gang.
Nice.
After the world has basically been destroyed and you were the president and aliens invaded, and now you have to rebuild everything from scratch.
Nice.
And the characters would come back and you still have the same... you'll have like the original characters and all those interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
But then the writers started going, well, if we do that, we gotta paint ourselves in a corner. So we're just gonna scrap that. And then for like 2 years, they didn't have a solid plot for that story. So they just kept rewriting and changing things while the creators are making, while the programmers are programming things. They just go, we're going to change this. And the writers just change what the plot's going to be.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Yeah, so that's why the game has ended up in the situation it is, because there was no solid basis for them to work from the beginning, because everything just kept changing on them as they were working on it. Or then you get the stuff like the terrible King Kong game that came out, which it came out that the developers gave them 1 year to make a game. And they're like, go.
It's going to be like, trash.
Here's the IP. You have 1 year. Go. And that's why this game is terrible, to the point where it's a meme on the internet of how bad it is, because it looks like a PS2 game.
You get no time to do anything with that. No, like, so the Saints Row game, like, really, like, I'm a Saints Row franchise player. My first Saints Row game was Saints Row 3, but made me go back and play the other Saints Row game, you know, enjoy the series. It was complete ready for the it was like, okay, it's going to be a soft reboot, how they're going to do it. And that was just, you know, the writing was awful. It did seem convoluted. There was actually some of the parts, even through the series, you kept going, like, this would have made any sense with Johnny Gat around, but doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense. Like, this character really yeah. does feel like a Johnny Gat, but it's not Johnny Gat.
Yeah.
it's just like, this is Timu Johnny Gat. You know? But yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things of when you start looking at the constant process of these developers thinking that they're making the next big thing mm-hmm. and then realize that then they hit that wall of realizing, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Do you guys remember Babylon's Fall? Damn. Babylon's Fall was a game that Square Enix made and had Platinum Games make a always online loot-based action game.
Okay, this sounds like,
they tried to do Devil May Cry style action, but with Destiny loot.
This sounds like this could be good.
And a convoluted plot that was only shown through stills with voiceover over it. Right?
That lost me there.
But
that sounds like after the anime I've seen. What are you talking about?
Rhino, we're not talking about the cursed days of old anime. But but on top of that, the gameplay loop was bad. The controls were clunky and nobody was playing the game. So within like the first month, they had like 1,000 active players, period. Mm. Within a month. Mm. And the servers are shut down within a year. So all this time, effort, money dumped into creating this massive thing, gone. Anthem. There are people who made full documentaries about Anthem, about when they showed the game off at E3. That's all they had for Anthem. The gameplay they showed at E3 was all they had for the game. Nothing else. And then after E3, they're like, all right, we're going to use this to make the game. This is the premise we're going to go with. They had nothing. So they were forced to for 2 years to crunch to try to make a game that fits this expansive idea that they made off of a tech demo that the creators who made the tech demo didn't know what they were making until they put it on stage as, this is Anthem. And then the creators were like, what?
What did we make? God, I just need to know how much credit to give Goat Simulator. at least they were honest. There is no plot here. Do not buy this game. Do not buy this game. They're honest. Like, hey, this game was here for training purposes. You shouldn't buy this. People buy it anyways. It's like, don't you tell me what I can or cannot buy.
I will buy this game and I will love it.
Yeah.
That always got me about the simulator things, the lawnmower simulator that's big now. It's like, you can go mow your lawn. I don't understand why you need a lawnmower simulator, but I get, you know, what are you going to have next is like the dishwashing simulator or the cooking dinner simulator. Yes. And then I started thinking about it. We have that.
Yes.
It's the Sims. Mm-hmm.
Sims. Overcooked. You want to play some Overcooked?
Yep. Overcooked.
Yeah, I know.
Fun as hell.
Yeah, I was playing Overcooked with Vincent. I was like, man, maybe we should just get like a food truck, you know?
Man, we're just killing this.
Just make some money. I don't know, you know. Hey, it's the same way with people with the Rock Band and Guitar Hero, you know, spend all these hours playing guitar. Man, a fake guitar or playing roadie when you go to someone's house. Hold on, let me move my drum set.
Hold up, 1 sec. 1 sec. I need to move this real quick. It's fine.
No, but there's a lot of these like gaming titles that it just, I don't know, it just has just failure to launch. Just didn't have a good audience. There's not enough time. Like as gamers, we complain when we're wanting things to be released, but just like movies, sometimes they take time. Like the Marvels, you know, that Marvels movie that everyone knows that thing's going to take time to be good. It's going to release here shortly. It's going to be grade A, amazing. But they just had to keep pushing that back. Just like sometimes games need to be pushed back.
I mean, that was the big thing with No Man's Sky, right? That was the big recent failure in recent memory. But they made good on it and actually ended up making a great game eventually. But man, that launch was terrible.
Or we can look at something like, since Harry brought it up, the Square Enix Marvel Avengers game that came out. That
I had to mention it, Harry.
the Marvel Avengers game, which, to the point where they ended this, not only did they, before they closed down their servers, they made all the microtransactions anybody spent irrelevant. For the last like 3 months ago, everything's free now.
Oh God, I would have been so angry. The trailer was hype though.
Right. I mean, they could have been interesting. They had interesting things, but they also did some sketchy stuff of, oh, you can only have Spider-Man if you play it on PlayStation. all the other characters, we'll get to them, but you only have Spider-Man, you know, the most recognizable out of all these characters is only on PlayStation because we said so. And he's low tier.
I just like the trailer where they're sitting there like, all right, we're going to go do this. It'll load up. And they're like, that guy go first? Why? Anyways. No.
But and then you also have the other side of it, of the predatory microtransactions in game that are still massively relevant. For example, Overwatch 2. They released a skin.
Just Overwatch, because there's no Overwatch 1.
It's a $40 skin.
That's a sensitive content, right? Be careful. You're gonna hurt some junk rat players. Okay.
In Overwatch 2, there is a $40 skin.
Like skin pack?
No, it's one skin for Lilith from Diablo 4.
Don't be blue
in the game.
Don't be blue. Please don't be blue. Is it blue?
No, it's the Lilith, so it's like a demon, like black and red.
Okay, all right. Just
make sure. You gotta remember, like there's a Guild Wars 1 still, so Guild Wars 2 makes sense.
You can still play Guild Wars 1. Okay.
Right. Yes, you can still play. I've done it. You go back in there and get achievements, but it carries over to Guild Wars 2.
Oh, you still go get achievements still? Or still carry over?
You get those achievements and you go into there's a website that shows you all the ones that you earn and you log into your Guild Wars 2 account. It's there for you.
Speaking of achievements, I'm gonna make it even more obvious. The Modern Warfare 3 has no platinum trophy. You know, for a full game, it doesn't have a platinum trophy because it's meant to be a DLC. It doesn't even have a platinum, like a full. You get this trophy for getting all the achievements. It doesn't even have that.
Wow.
But yeah, it's
straight money grab.
Well, you know how bad the gaming industry is when the group and the channel Achievement Hunter has shut down officially.
God. Yeah. Remember Achievement Hunter? Remember? I remember.
Oh, Achievement Hunter.
Remember when you had to go hunt for achievements? And it wasn't just get this mini kill streak or whatever. Pepperidge Farm, remember?
God. So no, I remember like Hitman game where they showed they were showing Bugs and Hitman. That just made it so much fun because you're like, it was open. You could do anything in there. And he, and Gavin on his slow-mo guys, one of the guys that does slow-mo guys and did the slow-mo work for like Sherlock Holmes and stuff like that. But he was on the show and he discovered that if you kill somebody in this electric pool and you put them there, people would come over and try to check it out. And eventually they'd touch it and then they die. And then somebody else would come over and check it out. And then it was like, you could turn it off and on. And when they come over and get them all, and he had a pile of like 50 bodies finding games like that, that people have put thought into and made it actually possible, or it's not railed. So many games you buy nowadays are so on rails that you can't. That's what I think was one of the things that really helped Baldur's Gate 3 was they thought through all the different possible options. There are options in there where you go, oh, this will be funny, I'll try this. And they thought that somebody would do it and put in a response to it. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. Right. Like another great example is the game Nier Automata. Or Nier Automata, depending on how people want to pronounce it. Because they're robots, you have an OS chip in your inventory. You can uninstall it and you will get a game over. Because you have no way to function as a character. So you can just, God damn it, Harry. I see what you're talking about. Or you're a robot, you have the option to eat a fish. And it like messes up your insides and you die. because that's a canonical ending you can get in the game.
Nice. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of the random endings. There's a point where like there's like an attack happening and you can just run away and not interact. And that's a canonical ending you can have.
Nice. I did like, the first Spider-Man game. Apparently after you beat the game, you're just, you know, webbing around town. There's even more stuff you can do. Like, I was watching videos of people like, you could go and do like weird interviews with the news crew or events. And like, it was like, this is something you can do after the game. You can go like to the park and do yoga, or, you know, someone asked Spider-Man the question of like, is a hot dog a sandwich? And he replies, it's a salad if you think about it.
God damn it.
I was just like, all right, that's a Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, you definitely would respond to that.
Yeah. Which is going to be interesting because of the new Spider-Man game that just came out. Yeah, him and his sidekick, Miles.
They're co-stars, sir.
Sidekick.
Mary Jane's the sidekick.
Is she?
Yes. Because you had to play as her at points in the game.
So, yeah, she got to play as Miles.
If it's not Spider-Man and Deadpool, that team up, if it's not that, it's not worth it.
I mean, it's Spider-Man and Spider-Man. It's
I know, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Deadpool, that comic series, Spider-Man and Deadpool, off, has to be one of the funniest things ever.
I'm sorry, Vincent. There's one Spider-Man and there's Miles Morales. Okay.
It's like saying there's no Robbie Reyes as a Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Well, Harry, see, you're thinking too lateral. You're thinking too laterally. Like, there's many, many Spider-Man here. There's a Peter Parker. There's a Mayday Parker.
Peter Parker.
That's Peter Porker and Spider-Ham.
By the way, we're, I'm still like, I don't know what I have to do to get a Spider Noir movie Cage. With Nicolas Cage. I don't know what we need to do. Who I need to write? Please.
Hey, Harry, Ben Reilly is also Spider Man. He's Peter Parker, but he's a clone. I mean, so is Kane. I mean, come on. you can't just say there's one Spider-Man. No. That's against Spider-Man's own continuity.
Scarlet Spider. Okay. All right.
Which one?
Don't matter. Not Spider-Man.
That could all change with the end of Loki coming up this week. The end of this week's this season two of Loki may fix all of that multi-dimensional stuff. You only have one sacred timeline.
What?
Not in the comics. The comics is all over the place. It always has been. I mean, and you're saying that
I'm talking about Marvel MCU.
Spider-Man, he was Spider-Man. So Peter Parker retired and left, and Ben Reilly became Spider-Man. Don't try to quote continuity to me, motherfucker.
How many times have they tried to straighten out the timelines like that? I mean, I can think of like four big events.
Too many. The best opportunity they had was Secret Wars, where all the universes were destroyed and Doom was God, and then they brought everything. They tried to make a new universe, which should have rebooted everything, but they cowered out of it at the last moment and just returned to status quo. I mean, come on, you have the perfect opportunity.
Don't give Disney ideas.
Yeah, DC had Crisis on Infinite Earths. That was the.
I'm still waiting.
That's kind of the last one where I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this again.
I'm still waiting for Disney to redo Spider-Man again and call this one the Amazing Spider-Man. You know, it just started going the Ultimate Spider-Man. That's the next one that's going to come out. Once they replace Tom Holland, we're going to have call the Ultimate Spider-Man.
I mean, they already tried to do Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, they already have Amazing Spider-Man. So we got Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, we'd be trying. It's perfectly fine, you know.
Yeah, that's the Miles Morales one. They'll call it Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, Ultimate
Spider-Man. You know it will.
Yeah,
you know
Ultimate, they will. Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man. And that's what Fantastic Four. This is the Ultimate timeline. Ultimate. This is the Ultimate series.
You can't do that because the original MCU was based off of the Ultimate Universe anyway.
Oh, so yeah, that's when not the original. This is the original, the Ultimate.
Oh, it goes.
I know you're like, you're sitting there like, if Disney does this, punch you in the dick. just give Disney ideas.
I just stopped paying attention. Like, I literally have Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, the last No Way Home, right? Just sitting over there, and I haven't even watched it yet. I haven't.
Oh, it's good. Actually,
I know it's good. I just haven't had the motivation to watch it.
I saw a meme today that was really hilarious. It was two parents pushing these two kids in the stroller, you know, down the street, and it was like Disney were the parents and MCU was the kids. Then it showed two other parents walking, swinging their kids by their ankles, and it was it was WB and DC.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. DC does not care, and I don't care about their universe either. I've become so tuned out of the superhero stuff.
Well,
at this point,
yeah. James Gunn's going to take care of DC, right?
I mean,
I'm going to kick right home.
No, I want him to, but I doubt it.
I'm going to kick him.
He knows how to tell a good story. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy, especially 3, was incredible, and everything else, but. Can he do it for a whole? Can he put together a whole universe? Is the question.
I think he can, but I think the heroes that he wants to touch, the Trinity, doesn't work to me with his style. You know, like him touching Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman. To me, that won't work. But if
in the MCU, they gave him Guardians that nobody had ever. You know, I mean, if you weren't a comic book reader, you didn't know who these people were.
Yeah,
and they didn't interact with the main MCU until well into their arc, right? Correct. So he could just go do whatever he wanted to over there. So that's why I'm wondering if he can do that interlaying of all this stuff with characters that are already well established and things like that. I mean, that's going to be a tough road to hoe, but I mean,
right.
He can make a great movie. I just don't know, you know, what he's going to end up with.
I want James Gunn to do Justice League Dark.
Yes.
Let him do that instead of just the actual Justice League, because I feel like he needs more grounded characters. Superman is so out there that I don't see his take on Superman.
Right.
But I want to believe that he'll get it done. I want to believe in that. But I have so little confidence in almost all the superhero stuff right now that I'm just extremely pessimistic about all of it.
Do I get to be the one to say, weren't we talking about games?
I mean, yeah. But that's how this works.
Yeah. Just kind of get bleed over.
Yeah.
Just get bleed over. Yeah. Just all bleed over.
But
I mean, do we want to go back to the gaming, or do we want to follow this rabbit hole?
I mean,
I could. I know how we got here. I can go back and remember. We were talking about the Marvel game.
The Spider-Man game. Yeah, I was talking about Spider-Man game. Spider-Man game. Yeah. But I'm all for kicking Disney while their stock's down.
Disney and DC.
You're trash.
Warner Brothers. Trash. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is comic book empathy. Trash comics that no one bought. No one bought those. 2010 to 20 now. No one bought those. That's why there's all these closed comic book shops. Thanks, Disney. Great. Awesome. This timeline sucked. Oh, man. I did see this thing with the video games, though. Like with Modern Warfare, people was kind of a little upset that you have to use a certain gun to get parts for another gun that you want to use. I remember people used to hate that with Payday 2, and I was there, and they got rid of that real quick. But I can't believe that came back. I rounded its heads, like, oh, you got to try this gun out. You know, so you get parts for this gun.
There's so many just things that are so cyclical that they keep coming back because they don't know how to fix it yet. Or they do something so absurdly ridiculous. Okay. Silent Hill Ascension.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
Do you know anything about this at all?
I know Silent Hill, but I don't know anything about Ascension.
No. Okay. Ascension is basically a web series with a battle pass. So basically they put out like a 30-minute episode of in-engine cutscene, basically, and people can watch and they can use influence points to decide where the plot goes. And in order to get influence points, you either play basically mobile game level mini games, or you spend real money, or you can buy the battle pass that gives you more influence points, and your battle pass goes up the more you watch this mini series. You see,
and you think this is a bad idea?
You also get 2,000 influence points just by signing up. Oh, we're just
the issue is they've made a TV series that's pay to win. If us three are watching the series,
I'm not sure I'm against this. It's an interesting idea. I would like to see how it plays out.
It is an interesting idea, but it has some flaws with it.
Everything's got flaws, especially any new.
So they did it very cheaply. So this online only game, so it's you also are forced to basically stream this to the community at all times. So your solo player game is actually a multiplayer game with the world.
Yeah, so you deciding where the plot goes doesn't matter if somebody else has spent more money than you and picked a different thing than what you want.
Capitalism, right?
I mean, yeah. Obviously, when you have it based on when you're using in-game engine to basically make a cutscene that people pay to decide what happens in the cutscene.
When you say it's animation, is it machinima or is it actual animation?
No, it's basically a cutscene. They only take like a game thing. They're basically making a brand new series with in-game engine.
Right, but I'm just trying to picture whether it's like animation, actual animation, or is it machinima where it's actually the characters and everything interacting in the real world, like, you know, like let's say Red versus Blue or something like that.
No, it's like if you were playing a video game. And then a cutscene happens in the video game. It's that kind of cutscene. But it's a 30-minute cutscene.
It's basically Red versus Blue Machinima stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you're thinking. But so you've got your single player game, and you've got people who are constantly watching your game, voting on things that are happening, and the so you're forced to basically stream. You're basically a Twitch streamer.
Oh, no. You don't play it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's not a game. It is a web series. It's a web series that people can vote on. That's a live series that they live stream the new episodes to the point where they actually had to shut down their chat because some people were memeing too hard in it. They talked about cum a lot for no reason. I don't know. That's what got them to stop.
Please say the phrase correctly. Okay.
But the base premise of it being, hey, everybody gets to vote for which plot point you want to go into, could be a good idea. Mm-hmm. But when it's you literally can pay $40 to get a battle pass for something you're watching.
Yeah, it's true.
For free, that becomes the issue for me.
Yeah. I see it as an interesting concept. I think it's just implemented very poorly. Mm-hmm. I think it'd have been better that like the chat needs to be heavily moderated.
Chat needs to be heavily moderated, and it should be that you should get one vote, and if you continue, if like basically build like a streak of it, if you're gonna keep watching it, you get like another vote for every episode you watch in a row or something. Yeah. Instead of it being cool, this guy spent $100 and wants this main character to murder this person in cold blood because he wants to, but everybody else, all the other 99 people that spent their $1 on getting it, the don't kill them path. Just get screwed over.
Yeah, it's basically
what's going to happen, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you could say, okay, you limit to everybody gets $1 vote and that's it, and everybody just gets one vote, as it were. You know they're going to meme the crap out of it. You never, you know, it's going to be Bodie McBoatface.
And that's the web series. That's fine. It's fine by me, but that also, but that prevents one person from basically being a whale for a web series.
Because say it they like want, that's they a bad thing. You say it like there shouldn't be a Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos going around controlling everything. Mm. Everybody's teacher.
First off, Elon Musk controls nothing. Jeff Bezos does. Okay. Elon Musk is a clown. Worst type of clown.
God. Just saying. But, no, I mean, yeah, that's, yeah.
He's going to go, yeah, I can't wait to just knocks him down.
But if it's a choose your own adventure game, that's fine. There's plenty of those games out there that have ways that people can interact with the game, like the Quarry and those games. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what the first one was
most
called.
Most games are interaction games. I'm talking, this is more of a, hey, play the game and then you can earn the ability to control a story that's being told based off the game. Mm-hmm. And right. I don't know how many things have done that before. I mean, this could have saved Heroes, maybe. The animated version of Heroes.
But what?
I mean, I could see
the web series for Heroes. You remember? You never saw that?
Series? No. Sorry, the Heroes TV show before the first strike in the early 2000s brought me to tears, made me very sad. So
they had a web series like that in between the second and third season, I think, or first and second. I can't remember which. It was it followed a couple different heroes that were just barely mentioned in the show, but it followed their paths through a web series.
Nissan Versa. It has to be a Nissan Versa. I've hated that car ever since.
But
be a Nissan Versa.
The premise of being able to earn the credits in a meaningful way is different than what they're doing, which is here's a Connect Four game that has nothing to do with the plot of this story. and then you get like 5 IP points, or you can spend $5 and get 2,000 IP points and do it that way.
Basically you're watching, when you play that game, you're basically probably getting presented ads, right? So they're getting ad revenue based off of you playing a game. That's a way for you to earn those points, or you could spend money. And there was a recent TikTok about this. There's a gaming group that does these great TikToks and it's really fun, but one of them was basically the person coming on saying, yeah, I just got this in the shop, you know, and it's just like this big, you know, bunch of armor or something like that. And the person who'd been playing a lot was just like, oh, I hate it when you guys come in here and do that. And he pointed out that it's like, yeah, I have what's called, I did this thing. This is how I got these. I did this thing. It's called a job. And I work 40 hours a week at it, hard working at it. And this is how I am able to afford to do this stuff, as opposed to just sitting there and spending that 40 hours just grinding on the game to get it, you know, so I can have some enjoyment. And she started feeling really bad about it. And he's like, okay, now I got this sword. He goes, as long as it's not giving you a benefit. And he's like, oh, yeah. Then he says, now I got this sword here. It's supposed to kill a dragon in one hit. Let's go.
Right. And I would agree with you if it meant that that actually, if you're spending the time to play this game and work on it, yeah.
Yeah, save the cheerleader, save the world. Thanks, Christian. Yes, yes. I love the first season of Heroes. Oh,
I even like the second season of Heroes.
Yeah, I liked it too. But then it's just, I don't know, it lost its footing. It lost its way. And then like, you could tell, like, they just, I don't know.
Well, they tried to actually giving answers, and then went into, like, this background with the Petrelli family and everything else that I was just like, which was good. I mean, I like what you're doing here, but I don't think you're executing it very well. And then the strike happened, and it's just like,
let's put the blame where it squarely belongs. Jeff Loeb. Let's blame Jeff Loeb. He ruined all kinds of things. Now, he did do some good. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, pretty good. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., trash.
Not in any way trash. Not in any way.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s trash. Nope. Lost.
The best series ever made.
Lost. Trash. It's double trash. Okay. Ruined Heroes.
Come on.
What,
come
so the, what on. Is Jeff it?
Love isn't as bad as Joe Quesada. Come on.
Okay. Oh, now they got one of the guys, the showrunner for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now doing Wheel of Time, by the way. So, which is like one of the top streaming shows that Amazon has, period. Even better than the stupid Ring one that they put to get put out.
Whoa! Don't you put Wheel of Time in the Rings of Power? They're not in the same
it's category. Better than it. Well, it's better. It's actually getting more views.
No one's arguing that Rings of Power is trash.
Well, we just don't want you to degrade your own.
Oh, degrade. Point. Okay. Yeah.
You're degrading your own point.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Wheel of Time.
You should compare Wheel of Time to The Boys or Invincible when it comes to ratings. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Here's the problem with Wheel of Time. Here's the thing about Wheel of Time. I'll give you right now. If you've read the books, it's frustrating as all hell, sort of. So the problem is that the book has over 4 million words in it. I mean, this is a long series, one story, 15 books, whatever, you know, it's not a short thing. They're trying to condense it down into 8 episodes for 8 seasons, 64 episodes to do 4 million words worth of story. They're going to have to change a lot of stuff. They're going to have to cut a lot of stuff out. Well, that really irritates a lot of people who love these books and want to see it faithfully just redone. Mm-hmm. But the changes that they're making, a lot of them are really good. Some of them are really kind of stupid, but some of them are really good. But the acting, the direction, the acting on these characters and the casting of the characters are just so perfect. These are the characters in my head now when I read these books.
Welcome to being an anime fan, Reinhold.
And one of them was actually, when she came on the screen, I was like, that's her. That's exactly who I saw in my head. Boom, right there. And she's nailing it. So, I mean, that's a really good, it's a really good series, especially if you haven't read the books. It really gets you into it. It makes you want to read the books, which is really the purpose, in my opinion, of what that should be. Because once you read the books, you go, oh, there's so much more here that you don't get in the show. You can't, there's no way they can do it. That's the problem. They would have to do 24 episode seasons and do 20 of those to come near capturing the whole story.
So welcome to being an anime fan. You are literally living through what people who read the manga and then they get an anime adaptation of the manga do. This is the exact thing that they talk about. It's like, well, it's not the same. They're changing some of the stuff, but the way it's done is better than the the manga, but if you really want the story, you read the manga. It's the exact same argument. Well,
there's an argument to make, though, in converting from a reading format to a visual medium. I mean, you can't sit there inside somebody's head on screen for three pages of of what's going on, right? You have to show that on screen some way, as opposed to reading it through their exposition, through their own brain pan, right? And there's one character on there who spends a lot of his time all in his head. He doesn't verbalize anything that he's going through. He's a very stoic character, barely says anything. So you've got to find ways to pull that emotion and get the story out without having basically just voiceovers for the whole time. And it could be a lot worse. There was the thing with Wheel of Time is that it was purchased a long time ago. The rights for the movies were, and then in order to try to keep, cause the company at bottom could never get the money to do it, but they wanted to keep the rights. So they had to put out like a potential pilot for a show or something. So they put out a potential pilot for the show. So they did the prologue to the books as the first episode on the pilot, got Billy Zane to play a character on there who kind of half walks through the whole thing because he doesn't care. He's just there. And it's so badly done. It's badly scored. It's bad. The lighting is horrible. The coloring is horrible. The graphics are bad. It's one of the worst things you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it could be that bad, guys. it's not. All right. This isn't Sword of Shannara. Okay. We're actually doing something better than that here.
Right.
So there's just a lot of people who are very upset about it. And they're called book cloaks because you said this instead of this in the show. And it's the line's different. And that's changes the whole story. And it's like, shut up, guys.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of people mad because of the casting. Because the casting isn't all white. So, but that's a whole other thing to deal with because these people, I'm like, if you've read the books and you think that this is medieval England, you're not reading the books. You don't know what the heck you're talking about because this is apocalyptic US 5,000 years from now, at least. Spoilers.
I know, right? Spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. It's first, like the first part of the books you learn this stuff.
Well, spoilers. I haven't opened it. Wow. Well,
spoilers. Right. Yeah, but it's
right. Yeah, there's a character named Rand. Oh, you spoiled it for me.
It's funny to me to hear you talk about it in this manner because this argument is a thing that's happened so much in the anime manga community. It's like, oh, they took this and didn't put this in the from the manga in the anime. What the heck? Blah blah blah. And you look at the other side of it of in Demon Slayer, they took like a one page fight and made it into a 10-minute animation like spectacle for the eyes.
They did that in Wheel of Time this season. There's a whole thing about a collaring of an Adam, and it's hard to explain exactly what it is, but it's a very, very much a torture slavery type of situation. But they took one paragraph in the book and they turned it into a full episode, just focusing on that one paragraph and going through it and expanding on it. And everybody says it's one of the best episodes they've ever done because it was so well acted. It was so well directed. And it really got that feeling across of this is vile what these people are doing. It was actually very, very well received. And you got to understand, you got to do that because it's different. It's a different medium. It's completely not the same as just doing a faithful adaptation.
And that's what I said. You're preaching to the choir because we actually fully understand your pain. This is one of the things we totally understand in a spiritual sense. Because there are so many anime I've seen people complain
There's another problem with Wheel of Time, too. The first season had some issues with some of the writers and some of the episodes being kind of okay and focusing on things they probably shouldn't have. But then one of the main actors quit halfway through. Mm-hmm. And then they had to write a whole different ending on the fly the last second, and it wasn't that great. So that was that was disappointing, but they've turned the corner and they're killing it in season two and going on. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, that's totally fine. It's something you're passionate about. There's plenty of things. Like, I know that there is a person that me and Paul interact with who really likes this manga called Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, and it made an anime of it, and the anime is terrible, and it literally hurt people on a spiritual level. To the point where I've seen people put it as like the worst anime of the year from the previous year, even though it wasn't even the worst animated or the worst done. It just took this amazing source material that some people said like changed their perspective on writing and manga in general, and just went.
Eh. It's three of the book series I grew up reading, and that all three of them turned into shows, and none of them were any good.
Right.
I mean, you had the Seeker, you had the Sword of Shannara, then you had the one they did for. The Terry Pratchett stuff, the Watch, which they ended up just changing everything in there. And just like, it's a different time. It's all different people. It's like, well, why are you using the property if you're not using the same people? I don't understand. But anyway, it was just, this is the best one. This is one that I, as dearest to my heart as a book reader, that I've lived with all my life. And it just, I've been praying for this to come and it's here and I'm just going to let it happen and enjoy what I can from it. Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy.
And I do love some of the season finale that they just did for season two. The guy that took over for the one guy who quit, he's killed it. He killed it. It's like people were crying watching the show. It's really good.
As much as I love hearing you get tortured over IP that you loved in the hands of people who don't love it and just use it to make a buck.
Sorry, but I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably I was watching reactions to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yesterday for about 5 hours. I love that show. Season four may be some of the best TV I've ever seen.
My whole spends 5 hours watching React content. I spend 7 hours playing Psychonauts 2 instead.
we are not the same. No.
Well, I can play games while I'm watching.
I'm gonna let you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, you know, let you have it. It's not for me. I don't like it. I know a lot of people who do. I watch the show and go like, this is trash.
I watched two seasons and then I realized they were trying to set up the Inhumans through it, and then they just got rid of all the Inhumans. So it just kind of, I was like, eh.
Yeah, but it ends up being a story about.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
It's Simmons' story.
Nope. I'm doing that. This episode's already getting long in the tooth. We already went from video games, several different tangents to this stuff here. We're not doing that. Okay. All right. We're ending the episode.
Ending. I'm sure the people listening and watching don't want to hear our opinions and all this stuff. That's why they're listening in.
Oh, yeah. And I thank all the people who do want to listen to opinions. From us being kicked off of YouTube for this month, and that spicy episode, I hope we're getting close to 300 downloads this month. People are curious on the episode that got us kicked off of YouTube. So I appreciate it to all those people and new key holders who are coming into the fold and wondering, like, what is this content? It's so spicy. So thank you. I appreciate it. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this. This is a live podcast. We recorded on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. Come hang out with us live. You know, hang out in the chat room. Communicate with us. Talk with us. The people that we communicate, the chats that we're reading, those aren't super chats. Those aren't like people paying money. Those are just people, the fans that are coming, interacting with us, and talking with us, and hanging out with us. So please, you can be one of those people, but I enjoy all 300 of you who go out and download this podcast every week. So that, I thank you. Please, you know, you can watch us on twitch.tv/ We Are Libertarians. That is the letter R. So We Are Libertarians. And on, well, you can't get us YouTube, but you get us on the wall Facebook page. So, you know, so yeah, see you guys next week.
Yeah. Play better games. Enjoy.